Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud with Pastor Phil. Today is Sunday, April 21st. We're doing the podcast a little early today. My name is Joe, and this is the man who looked death right in the eye a couple years ago and said, "Not today, Satan." And that is Pastor Phil Martinez.
Yes,
good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Yes, that is correct.
You doing all right today?
Oh, yes. Outstanding. Outstanding.
You mentioned your trials with the kidney issue earlier. Give us a little update here about like where it stands. I know you're on the list still. The donor, James, isn't that his name?
Yes, James. Yeah. Yep.
Does he still come to church here?
Yes, sir. He came today.
Okay.
He had the message today.
Yeah. He was your matching donor at one time, correct?
Absolutely.
And something happened in the blood work or something right before y'all were getting ready to do the transplant.
Yes.
And he ended up waiting. He was happy to give the kidney anyway, but ended up waiting because the doctor said it might not last but a few years, correct?
Yep. Yes, sir.
So at that point, they put you on the list. Is that right?
Yes. And yes, I'm now on the waiting list and also a swap list. So he's still available.
Oh, there's two separate lists.
There is another list, being that he still has a kidney for me.
Oh, so his name's attached to yours.
Yep.
So if he matches with somebody, that'll bump you up the list.
Yeah. Then if he matches with someone and they have someone that has a kidney that matches me, we can swap and I'll have someone instead of just waiting for a random kidney.
Right.
It's supposed to be, you know, some years faster.
Couldn't that could trigger like a chain reaction of events? Because if there's more than one person like that, you could literally have this one switch with this one, switch with this one, switch with this one, switch with this one, make a big circle.
Absolutely. And again, if that happened, man, look at God. Because again, we were thinking this was going to happen. He got kind of bummed. I got kind of bummed. But we knew God still had a plan. And so, again, man, if that's something God has in mind, you know, in a year or two or multiple,
right,
that would just be amazing.
You said you were kind of bummed, but I mean, coming off the last time we talked to you, I asked you, like, you know, how down were you and how did it feel and all that kind of stuff. Shockingly, you were like, "Oh, it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm going to heaven. I don't care. I'm ready. It'd be good for me. It's a win-win."
It is.
And so coming off of that and then going into this kidney doesn't really match. Obviously, it was disappointing.
Absolutely. And when I say bummed, I don't mean like, you know, it weighed so heavy on me. It's just, you know,
yeah,
you got the news and like, oh, man, I didn't think it was going to go that way. And then
probably more disappointing for Cynthia and the
kids, sir,
and all that, I bet.
Yep, because I thought that it was coming. Mm-hmm. But again, after prayer and meditation, you know, we understood that, well, okay, well, God, we still trust in you, and you're still doing something, so everything is fine.
Right. How is Cynthia and the kids?
Oh, I cannot complain. They keep me on my toes.
Sure.
She's definitely my rock, I tell you that. There's still things that, you know, I get tired from dialysis. There's things that I can't do, and she could complain. She could, get in a pity party if she wanted to, and it would be deserved because there's things I still can't do.
Oh, I can't imagine what she's having to go through and do and all that kind of stuff.
But again, she takes it. She understands. She knows, and she picks up the pieces, and I just thank God for that. And she has my back in everything that I do.
You feel like it strengthened your marriage having to go through all this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So much, actually. Because just like when I preach today, when you go through these things, it just hits you harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go through those, you know, she can say she has my back all day. But when it really happens and to see her, "Hey, I'm going to help you change your socks today because I know you can't bend down." Things like that, you know, I'm looking like, oh my gosh, an angel from heaven. You know, it just brings you that much closer when those things
are you too
happen.
Proud to ask for stuff like that? Is that what?
No, I'm not. I'm just able to do it. You know, I don't think put on my socks when I can put on my socks.
Right.
It's not until I can't put on my socks until she's willing to do
it. So you can do it sometimes and you can't others?
So this was more at the beginning when I had those surgeries and stuff. And even if I do have another surgery up here, I won't probably be able to bend down for a little while after I get the surgery. Even you know with the kidney transplant and stuff. So
I can think of worse things than having to put on some socks.
Absolutely.
Jesus washed feet.
It did, absolutely. I said, you know what, let me help you out. I'll help you out a little bit on that part. No.
Oh, she probably gets regular back rubs or whatever, huh?
Yes, sir.
So, to update on where you stand, are you going to dialysis, you said, daily?
So, I do it at home.
Oh, okay.
I do peritoneal dialysis.
Oh.
I don't go, it actually doesn't draw my, pull my blood. I have a tube that, basically is sugar and water. It's some kind of chemicals they have. But that goes into my stomach. It pulls all the toxins.
Oh, really?
It absorbs them, and then it drains them, and it does that. And I do that 9 hours a night.
While you're sleeping?
That's what they say. I still have it. I'm a very light sleeper, so every time it pulls and it drains and it flows 2,000 milliliters of water back into me.
I'm sure you can feel it.
Yeah, I'm up.
And it's every single night?
Every night, every single night. Yes, sir. Mm. Yep.
Doesn't sound fun.
It's not. It's a little nerve-wracking. It's more mental. Because an infection, any little thing can stop that from happening. And if it gets infected, then I have to...
You're talking about your port?
Yeah, my port and my stomach. If it gets infected, then I do have to go through my arm and pull the blood and do it through that way. So
you have to do it?
Yes, I can do it, or I can go to the clinic.
Do you have a shunt in your arm?
I have a fistula.
Yeah,
right here,
right there.
That's pumping.
Right.
They call me the Flash because of it. My kids like it. If they only knew. But yeah,
it does look like you work out a lot or something. Your veins are sticking out or something.
Yeah, I tell them I'm strong, but they know that right there is all because of dialysis.
Yeah. Well, you were coaching baseball today, right?
I was, I was so tired.
Was it Blake pitching?
It was Blake. He did outstanding. He did outstanding.
And for those of you who don't know, he said they won their tournament today.
Yes, sure did. And I did not go because I had a responsibility to be here first and foremost. And I knew God was in control regardless.
There you go, folks. All right, on today's podcast, we're going to be discussing some of the talking points from the sermon this morning. First, we'll talk about perspective and the way we tend to view our actions and dealings here on earth. Then we'll discuss how that perspective can affect our relationship with Jesus. We'll talk about detours, distractions, and delays, and how all of these things can affect our perspective of things. We'll talk a little bit about Joseph and all of the things that he went through during his life. And finally, we'll talk about hope and our perspective of things in this life and how they can have an effect on our relationship with Jesus as well. Before we do that, however, we'd like to let you know that this episode of Thinking Out Loud is again brought to you by Hilo Heating and Air. As the heat begins to crank up here in South Mississippi, make sure your air conditioner is working like it should with a spring tune-up from Hilo Heating and Air. Hilo is a locally owned HVAC installation and repair service right here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and the official HVAC service of Thinking Out Loud with Pastor D. So if your AC breaks and you need somebody to fix it, or if you just want somebody to give a little spring checkup to it, please give Mr. Jim at Hilo Heating and Air a call, and he will get you taken care of. All right, so this isn't really a listener question, but I did want to ask you about it. We talked about it last week, and it didn't really matter if you listened to the podcast or not. Shame on you if you didn't, but...
shame on me.
Last week we were talking about measures of success and how society measures success. Formerly, like in the old days, you'd measure success by things like status, status at church, how much money you had, you know, things like that would measure the amount of success that you had. But these days, and this kind of stumped Pastor D last week as well, he couldn't really put a finger on it, and maybe he said he wanted to think about it and he was going to answer next time we came back. But for some reason, society seems to value attention these days more than anything else. And currently, it seems to be that attention is basically the measuring candle right now for what success is. And as an example, last week we used, think of the guy with the brand new truck and the big giant house. You know, he's got a $80,000 note on the truck and he owes $500,000 on his house. Well, everybody looks at that guy and goes, ooh, new truck, nice house. That guy is successful.
Yep.
But he owes a ton of money because he borrowed it all.
Absolutely.
And then the guy across the street has a much smaller house, 5 or 6 year old truck, but both of them are paid for and he's got money in the bank. Well, nobody looks at that guy and says he's successful. They still look at the other guy across the street who owes all the money and has the stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So the question was, why have we gone to attention? And these days, it's positive or negative. It doesn't even matter. I think the example we used last week was anything you can do to get attention can gain you money. And we used the people, you know, on the internet, if you go on TikTok or something, teach your kid how to drop F-bombs or something like that. You video it and you put it on TikTok and then all of a sudden it's gone viral and everybody thinks your kid's hilarious. But you just taught them these awful words. But the attention is what everybody's after. When did this happen and why?
Kind of with this internet age, I guess, is probably a big point where that changed. Just because the more likes, the more loves, the more people do want to watch it, the more you get paid.
Right.
So it's money is still an aspect to this.
It is.
The person that bought the truck, they think he has money.
Right.
No one thinks to say, well, let me check his bank account, his bank note. Let me see if he has an EBT card. Nobody thinks to, they just see, you know, what he has. Right. You know, kind of that old wise saying is, you know, the wealthy people, you can't tell who the wealthy people are.
Right.
Because they don't waste their money on stuff to showboat.
Right.
The people that don't have money, they'll go buy all these fancy things to look like they have money.
Right.
Perception.
Pastor D kind of went that way as well. He started with Facebook and the internet and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But we talked about that for a minute. And when Facebook was created, and some of these other social media sites are the same way. I think originally there was MySpace and then whatever was before that, AOL or whatever you call it. They were basically designed as ways for people to communicate with each other. So sometime after all that started, the attention thing came to be.
Yeah.
So those were the vehicles for attention becoming what it has been, but somewhere in there the people changed.
It's different, kind of just like anything else, we make stuff that is not intended, you know, to how people use it. Mm-hmm. And so again, I think once they realize that, oh man, there's people watching me. Oh man, they're laughing at what I'm saying. It like you said, it just gives them that drive to say, I'm going to keep going. I watched a documentary on wrestling.
Like WWE.
Right. It came on and I was watching it. And I was like, oh, I know that guy from when I was younger. I used to watch him.
Who was it?
It was Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes, I used to watch him.
Macho Man and Hulk Hogan. And but a lot of it was, you know, it was Ric Flair was on there. A lot of it was they had horrible lives.
Ooh.
And they would say when.
Oh, yeah.
They would say when.
Oh, wait, hold on.
You gotta get,
no, that's not quite Ric Flair.
You got to hit that button. Woo!
The Nature Boy.
But a lot of it was bad. A lot of it was they had, you know, that was their out. They had adrenaline to when they came out and the crowds.
They still do.
You know, and that's why they did it. And the crowds dictated what they did. And once you get that from wrestling, from Facebook, from anywhere, that, hey, this is what they want. This is what they're going to get. And
right. Well, I guess there was money in that, too. So you're probably on to it. I mean, everybody's always after money. There's no question.
Yes, sir.
I just don't understand when did we lose the being right? Or being good.
Mm-hmm. And again, that goes back to the morals, how we talked about before is, you know, they started taking Jesus out of school. They started, you know, not saying the flag, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, those stuff. It's slowly. I don't think it was a win. Like,
no,
this is when it happened. But man, you can see this world in the U.S. and just slowly one by one. And it's a combination of everything.
It literally is a combination of everything. Pastor D would be sitting over there right now going, liberals. But it's not just them. It's all of them.
It's all of them.
They're all money hungry. They're all don't care about anybody else but themselves.
Yep. And when you're put into a spot of, should I move this over to get $1 million or not? You really have to. They really think about that.
Yeah, they do.
Morals aside, you know, perspective aside, I got $1 million.
Well, yeah. And like you were talking about perspective today, they just flush it.
Flush it out the window.
All our politicians.
Yep.
Here's the perspective. I'm to lead these people. Oh, you mean I could have some money instead? No problem. Bye, people.
No problem. And it's that fast.
I'll use the money to trick them into doing what I want. I mean, it's just.
And they have that me perspective that I was talking about today that gets in the way of looking through the lens of Jesus or what I need and what I want.
Right. All right. So let's talk about the sermon a little bit. I just want to get your take on that. We had talked a little bit about it last week. So today's sermon was about perspective and the way that we view our actions or our dealings here on earth. So you initially said something about perspective and how it affected the choices we make.
Absolutely.
How does it affect the choices we make?
Every single choice you make, do you have a perspective, whether you know it or not? And I always tell my youth group, I say, either you're going towards Jesus or you're going away. Whatever choice it is. Again, you're not thinking it quite like that, but ultimately that's what you're doing. On whatever decision it is, should I go here? Should I watch this? Should I listen to this? It doesn't mean that if you listen or watch or do what you're not supposed to, that you're just going to fall off automatically. But just like we talked about how the U.S. has gone bad, how this world has gone bad, same thing with our lives. Every choice we make, if we go from that me perspective, I can listen to this music. It's not going to affect me. And then slowly a word pops in. Slowly a thought pops in.
Right.
And it might not even hit you right away. But again, slowly, it will trickle. And before you know it,
can't believe you said music. That's my weak spot.
Yeah, then that's what it is. Music is a stronghold in many, many people's lives.
Right, right. And obviously, we talked about the things earlier that have creeped into society over time. Isn't it these little bitty transgressions that eventually add up and make the problem with our perspective of our relationship with Jesus the problem?
Oh, absolutely.
So when we say, well, this music's fine because I know already that it's not good, I just want to listen to it because I like the music or something like that, does that affect our perspective with him any? And are there any other examples you might be able to think of that are like that?
I think it does. Again, I think because you're putting time towards that. I can give you a cliche answer where you should be worshiping Christ in everything that you do, right? But that's the truth, you know. Instead of worshiping Christ, you're looking for that relaxation. You're looking for that temporary, I just want to enjoy this music real quick. But again, you have to ask yourself, why do you need that? Why are you doing that? You know, when you could be worshiping the God that we say we love, the God that we say we're in need of. And again, easier said than done. I'm not saying you can't just, you know, do something to relax.
Right.
You know?
Well, and a lot of times, I mean, you can't control the words that go to a song.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of songs, I really enjoy just the music. Like, I don't really care. I don't always know the words sometimes, but, you know, a good riff in a song or a good drum beat or something like that, it makes you want to listen to it.
Absolutely.
But it's not always the words that are the issue when it comes to listening to it. But any other everyday life kind of things you can think of that might affect our perspective like that?
Besides music, again, I think it is just falling into place of what other people are doing. The perspective of what is going on around me. Being in the military, the perspective and everybody was doing it. You know, you're either cursing or smoking, and that's what a sailor is, point blank.
Curses and smokes.
Curses and smokes. And smoke break, you know, they're working 1 hour and smoking for 15. That's just what
the government allows that now?
Yes,
it hasn't been canceled?
Nope, they're still taking smoke breaks.
So smoking got canceled out in the regular world, but in the military, it's still a thing.
Oh, they still do it. And I walk over and I stand by the tree and they're like, what you doing? I'm taking a break, because you're taking a break. But
do you smoke?
I do not. Oh, okay. No, I was trying to make a point. Like, well, you get 15 minutes off, and I'm going to go hang out.
Get my 15 minutes.
Yep.
That's all right.
No, I do not. But again, even then, you know, being around it, you would think you have to do it, you know. Like you said, you fall into that trap of where, oh, my gosh, everybody's doing it. I want to do it. And so that perspective of attention.
Yeah,
it will get you. Yeah. It will get you easy. Hmm. You want to have friends. You want to have people say, "Oh, that guy's doing what we're doing. He's cool." You know, you want that. But again, nowhere in the Bible does it say that's what makes you cool at all.
Do they make fun of you in the military? Like if you don't smoke or?
Not really. But you're not part of the crowd, if yeah. that makes sense. You know, because you know while they smoke, they're hanging out, joking, talking about work and doing stuff. And
I'm at the point in my life I can't even hang around people that smoke.
Oh,
it smells so bad,
and it don't. And I can't handle the secondhand smoke either. Yeah. But
I mean, I don't mean one person smoking a cigarette or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But in a bar or something like that, where there's a concentration of people who are smoking, I can't. Can't breathe.
It's not for everybody, obviously.
Right. Is the military, you've heard the term cuss like a sailor before?
Yeah.
Is that true? Is it really that way?
Oh, yeah. It's bad. It's bad. my superiors used to, every other word was one.
Really?
And knowing I'm a Christian and knowing that it bothered me, you know, I didn't get mad, but I'm like, can you just tell me what you need? And, you know,
you're talking about your superior.
Yeah, my superior. Like,
so you got to correct the guy. Like I'm like,
you know, because there is a point. You know, like I can handle somebody, you know, saying curse words to me or at me, whatever the case may be. You know, but you know, on and on and on and on, it kind of gets kind of. Okay.
It's not necessary.
That's not normal language right there. Like,
right.
Kind of cut back, please, a little bit.
What about you have people under you?
I did. And again, they would do it, but at the end of the day, I could not. They did it at home. They did it everywhere.
Yeah,
I can tell them not to, and they will stop for a little bit, but it was their language.
I can't take my kid to the store now without hearing some idiot standing in line dropping the F-bombs.
Yep. It's ridiculous. But they get mad when their kids or when sibling or when someone they know small does it.
Yeah.
You know, how can you get mad at that at all when you do it and in front of them?
No idea. It's the same guy teaching his kid to say it on TikTok. Whatever. Okay. So you first talked about detours and you used Joseph as your example. Mm-hmm. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Joseph kind of faced down the ultimate detour. He was betrayed by his own family, his brothers, and sold into slavery. I'm not sure that it gets any. I don't think you can do
a
detour any worse than that.
Nope.
So, a couple questions first. Number one, he had the dream about his brothers bowing down to him.
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe he wasn't supposed to tell them that because. Kind of seems like he messed things up for himself after he did that. And then his dad probably messed it up even more for him because everybody knew that Joseph was his favorite.
Yeah.
So was that, you think God intended all that, or do you think maybe that was a...
I do, again, because I think everything God does is with intention. Again, good or bad, like I spoke on today. If he keeps it in, I will say this. If he keeps it in, God's will, God's plan is going to unfold regardless. If he uses me, if he uses you, if he uses whatever he needs done, whatever God's will is going to get done. But in this case, again, it went this route. He could have used anybody else. He could have had them not tell nobody and still made it happen, you know, where they would bow down to him. But again, I think in this particular case, each one of these things that he went through, he had to do to get to where he was at the end.
Yeah, I just kind of drew back a little bit. Like, why would he go tell them that? I mean, you're supposed to be humble, number one. And
I've actually heard sermons saying that Joseph was arrogant because of this. Because of this. Yep.
Okay.
The Bible doesn't say that, though. So I wouldn't say he's arrogant. And I wouldn't say, because it doesn't say in the Bible, God didn't tell him, I'm going to give you this dream. Don't tell nobody.
Right.
Again, it could have unfolded either way.
It would be immaterial to God at that point, I would think.
Absolutely. And so, again, this part right here, you can look at it as maybe he was arrogant or not, but
maybe he was just being plain.
Yeah, like maybe here's
the fact. And
he just really didn't, he was excited to have a dream like that, you know, he could have been naive.
Why do you think he was his dad's favorite?
Well, it said at his old age, that is a good question because Benjamin was the youngest son. So it says at his old age, that was his first with Rachel, who he loved.
Right.
So that's why that was his favorite. It was his old age and it was with Rachel, his first. Because he had Benjamin with Rachel too, and I would think it would be the youngest one. But it was the first one, so that's why.
Hmm. Which one of your kids is your favorite?
Oh, man, let me tell you, man, we got a nice picture. No, I love all of them.
I'm just kidding.
You like that?
They're all my favorite.
They're all my favorite, and they're all crazy.
That's right. Okay, so moving on just a little bit. So the brothers clearly brought up in a God-fearing household. What must have been going through their minds when they thought, you know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our brother, who is the favorite, our dad's favorite, and we're going to sell him to be a slave. And then we're going to fake his death and tell dad that he died. What in the world?
Oh, man. I it's something you can't fathom. You can't believe. But going back to what we've been talking about, it all added up, right? It wasn't just, oh, dad's jealous, let's sell him. It was years of him being the favorite. It was years of, you know, my wife is going to get mad at me, but she listens to this and I just have to say it. I love her to death. But sometimes I come home.
No sock change for you.
Oh, I love her to death. But this is what makes this podcast good. So sometimes I come home and I'll hear her yell at the kids. What's she supposed to? I'm down for that. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? Right. You know, it catches my attention. And I know she's in the right. I'm not questioning her. And I'm like, what happened? They did this thing. And then she looks at me and I'm like, I know. What is it? But she's right. She's been telling them all day. Do this. And it's a series of things. And finally, this is the straw to where I just saw.
The straw.
One thing. Right. Yeah. So it's like.
Oh, so you have a tendency to want to go a little bit easier and.
Well, because I mean, I've been at work, so I come home and they do one little thing. Again, I'm like, all right, well, that's the first thing I dealt with. So let's just fix that and go. But she's been doing it all day with them.
Right.
So I get it. That's why I say I will never. I never say she's wrong, obviously.
Are you the easier going one? Or is she?
Oh, yeah.
Like if they really want to go do something that they know might be a no.
Oh, I love.
Do they come to you or do they go to her?
Yeah, they come to me.
Okay, you're the pushover.
Corporate.
I got you.
I'm not the pushover. I just So something as easy as getting checked out of school. They won't ask mom. They'll come. And she says they'll ask your dad. I'm not getting you out.
Yeah. Mine's the opposite. John goes straight to his mother.
Oh man, yeah, I'm the corporate.
My default answer is no.
I mean, again, I always check the facts. If he's doing good in school, if he doesn't have a test,
yeah,
I go get him. But if, you know, if it's just because, and I know he needs to be there, or he's failing, or he, you know, something like that,
right, right,
I'll have him there.
Okay, you heard that, Cynthia. He's on your side.
I love you.
Okay. Okay, anyway, talking about the brothers. Now, I don't get along with my brother very well either. But selling him into slavery? I mean, that's... Does it get any worse?
It doesn't.
Other than killing him yourself, I mean...
And they had a heart for him. I mean, you know, they didn't want to kill him. Well, some of them did. The older one said no. They? Yeah, they wanted to. They wanted to kill him. But the older brother said, no, just throw him in the pit. And he was going to come back and get him later. So, again, we're talking about multiple brothers, not just one. And I really think the circumstance just happened. You know, I think that they were mad, jealous, like all their feelings were at that time. And there just happened to be merchants coming by that you could just get some money and sell somebody. And
do you have siblings?
I do. I do.
You have one you don't particularly get along with? Don't say a name or anything, but I have one. I have one brother, and he and I are like polar opposites.
I have two brothers. We always have been. Yeah, I have two brothers, one sister.
I mean, but I wouldn't sell him into slavery. Well, if the price was right, I might sell him into slavery.
It all depends.
But generally speaking, I probably wouldn't consider something like that.
Yeah, no. And again, I wouldn't even think like that. We think different. Me and my siblings probably think different.
Right.
But nothing to where it affects me enough to where I want to either harm them or get rid of them or anything like that.
Are you your parents' favorite, or is it one of them?
I'm going to say it. I don't care. I love it.
You
are. My oldest brother is my dad's favorite.
Yeah.
And we have a sister.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it.
So y'all don't talk about him when you get together.
I was probably my mom's favorite as the younger.
Oh, okay.
I was probably because
the baby.
Yeah, but it's because my brothers were older and I was kind of the last one in the house, and I went to the military, and so I think I was in her older years to where
right.
When she was young, she can.
Yeah, she probably appreciated it more as she got a little older.
Yep,
I get that.
And I was better than them.
Oh, well, that always works. Just ask Joseph how that went. So,
I had a dream.
Yeah. So Joseph got sold into slavery. Now, when he realized that he was going to become an Egyptian slave, he's got to be thinking to himself, wait a minute, this is not the dream I had. This is not what God told me. This is not what my dad said. So do you think at that point he was probably like mad at God, or?
I would say it crossed his mind. Not necessarily mad, but those questions and maybe disappointment. And it has to, as a man, as a human, it has to cross your mind.
Right.
I wouldn't think that he would just gladly, you know, walk into a prison or to be enslaved. And, you know, but I do think, again, you think of the circumstance. You think, what options did he have? What choices did he have? And well, then right away, go ahead.
At that point, I mean, he's got to be thinking, I'm going to Egypt, which is way away from here. I'm going to be there forever as a slave, so my life is over.
No, absolutely. Right? Again, and those thoughts, I'm more than sure, just like us when things happen, there is that, you know, that small period where you're like, all right, God. Even my kidneys, you know, where I'm sitting in, when they're telling me, hey, your kidneys are working at 7%, and I haven't really, you know, processed everything. And I'm like,
it's like the process of coming to grips with the reality of it.
Absolutely. And so during that process, I mean, I think anything's fair game. We're like, well, what's going on? Where's the, you know, as far as, you know, not going out and saying depression or sinful or anything like that. It's just,
well, it's got to be depressing.
I would say depressed. To me, when I think of depressing or depressed, I think that's you've soaked in that. You've really like took it on.
As a pharmacist, I get this question a lot, especially from people that are going on to medicines that are for depression.
Mm.
So they'll ask me, you know, I don't think I have depression. So why am I taking this medicine? And you try to explain to them so there's a difference between depression and being depressed.
Okay.
Everyone on earth gets depressed at some point. Gotcha. We all do.
Gotcha.
Some people, the chemicals in their brain don't allow them or don't function in a way where they can come out of that depression like they're supposed to, or like a normal person would. So for that reason, we've made these drugs to help people get out of that cycle of depression. So just because somebody is depressed does not mean they have clinical depression.
Okay.
It just means that they're depressed.
All right. And in that sense, then, yeah, I mean, yeah, he probably was depressed. And again, processing what is actually going on. You know, like, God, is this really what you want me to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? You know, when you're processing all this stuff, you don't know. You don't know what. Am I on the right track, God? Or am I just... is this a consequence for something? What is going on? Right. So he had to be thinking of that. But I love that's why we read scripture. Because it's not far, right after that said God had him.
Right.
That he was a child of God. And so you see that. Like no matter if he was in depression or not, or you know, thought maybe he shouldn't be there or not, you quickly see that the Lord was with him. And so that's
right.
That's amazing.
Do you think because of the big detour that he took, do you think this was God's way of kind of testing him to see if he would stick to his faith? Or was this just Satan jumping in saying, all right, here we go?
Yeah, this is one of those questions. Again, that could be either or. But again, for me, as a follower of Christ, I do believe that, again, because I kind of hit that today, as far as that is a test of faith.
Yeah.
You know, that activates that faith.
And just because it's a test of faith doesn't mean Satan's not involved.
And absolutely. And because he's waiting there, too, trying to get a different angle, to try to maybe get in there and distract it. You know, what we talked about today, to see if he can try to get in there and get his fingers, even though he can't, again. He's going to try.
Right. I think we see that today as well. When bad things happen, I think this goes for just about anybody. There's often times where you can't figure out, is this Satan working against me? Or is God testing me or testing my faith to see if I do something wrong or right?
Absolutely.
So you never know. So it's always important to side one way.
Side one way, or for me, I like to think of it like this, is since you're not going to know, right? Since you never know.
Oh, yeah. Always go to the faith test.
Well, it's always, I always check my life. Mm-hmm. I check myself. Am I aligned with Christ? Am I doing what God told me to do? Am I obeying his word? Am I, because again, you usually, and I say usually, I sometimes, you know, God's trying to get your attention too. You're like, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this over here.
Yeah, come, sometimes he's telling, you know, us to
refocus.
Be obedient.
Yeah,
not necessarily do this or do that. Sometimes it's don't do anything.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's consequences.
Right.
Sometimes it's consequences for what we're doing. You know, God gives us the tools. You know, we're mad at God because we don't have money. Well, are you working? You know, we're mad at God because we're not doing this. Well, are you trying? You know, are we putting in our effort?
Right.
Or we just want God to just appear miracles, give us everything, and we don't have to do anything.
And my son wonders why he can't pass calculus college. And I'm like, well, every time I see you, you're on the computer doing something other than calculus.
Other than calculus. Yeah, you gotta put in, you know, work.
Right, right. Although he has done a lot better lately, I should say. Shout out to Jackson.
He's hey,
he flunked his first test and came back, and I think he made a C on the last one. But
the tests are good. Again, you said he flunked it, then made a C. Look, I mean,
yeah, he figured out pretty quick.
Keeps on. He'll
yeah.
Keep jumping up.
I got to do something here. All right. So talking about distractions and delays after you talked about the detours, you spoke about some of the distractions that Joseph faced after he became a slave. I think you talked about the woman. Mm-hmm. And then there's always these pitfalls that we all see in the modern day, or things that distract us, especially for those of us who are ADD or ADHD. My attention deficit's so bad, I can walk into a room to do something and end up doing something completely different when I get there, because I just, that's the way my mind works.
Yes, sir.
All these distractions didn't seem to really bother Joseph that much, or at least that's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
They were there, but how did he, even through all this, and this, being a slave is probably a lot worse than me walking into the kitchen going, oh, I need to wash the dishes, and end up cooking something or reorganizing the refrigerator.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of different things that can happen, but what was he doing anything in particular, you think, to stay focused on God? And how did he do it so well?
I go back to the preparedness. I think that, again, God, especially when God deals with you, he'll prepare you for it. He'll get you ready for it. He won't just go say, hey, I need you to do this, not prepare you, and I'm going to watch you just fail miserably.
Right.
So, again, I think he was prepared for it. And I believe, again, I just know that everywhere you read, even when he was in prison, it said that he was actually interpreting dreams in there. You know, everywhere he went, God was showing him signs and saying, mm-hmm. You're where you need to be. Interpret these signs. I'm still with you. And that kind of was driving and propelling him too. Kind of, again, like when we go through stuff, when my kidneys shut down, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? You know, then I see my wife, then I see my kids, then I see my friends, my church behind me. You know, God's saying, I'm still with you. We're still here for you. You know, those little signs, you know, allow you to understand and see that, you know what, God is, he's still here. He's still with me through these challenges,
right,
getting to the next steps. It's not like you go through it and you're just done and he's not speaking to you no more.
Did you get signs as you were coming through all that?
I did. Every day. I
mean,
every
clearly
day.
When James was a match. I mean,
James was a match. I'll tell you what. I don't talk about this with a lot of people, but it really, well, me and my wife, I mean, well, I can tell you what brought me to tears. What actually brought me to tears is I might have been a week in the hospital. I'm not sure how long. But
this is when it first happened.
Yeah, when it first happened, and it was a. I think it was a church night. I don't know if it was a Wednesday night or not, but all the youth got outside my window.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the hospital. You know, miss you, and I was like, oh my gosh! Like, again, to me, that's God saying,
right?
Man, we're here.
Well, how about that Coast Life Church machine, too?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
When you kick that thing into gear, and all these people are making dinners, and there's like a, at the time, I remember when it happened, but at the time I thought, well, gosh, do we need to do something? And, you know, Taryn was telling me at the time, oh, it's already underway. What's underway? What are you talking about? I didn't have any idea. But there's this like system we have where when somebody finds something out or something happens like that, this big long chain of events goes into motion.
A chain reaction, man.
Church takes care of its own.
God's people really, they really do it, man. Again, that love that you have for your fellow people, those relationships you have, again, it really took us back. You know, even our family from home would be like, you need anything? And they're in Texas. We don't have any family over here. And we're like, no. Like, our church family has went way far and above beyond, and there was nothing left, you know. And it was just so amazing to see, you know, miracles on miracles on miracles. It was God saying, I'm here. This is what needs to happen.
Right.
You keep abiding in me, keep trusting in me, and we'll get you through this. And he's still staying there today on Dallas.
Do you keep getting signs?
I do. Again, and it's the little things. It's the little things.
Yeah. I get that. A lot of people have that. Have you ever had like and Pastor Dan and I talk about this sometimes. I've never had God like honestly speak to me like some people have.
Mm-hmm.
And he wishes on me that I get some kind of scary moment where God comes out of the clouds and goes, Joe, do this, you know, or something like that. But have you ever had that kind of...
I have not audibly. I have not audibly. But again, that spirit sense that everything that's going on, again, the things that I prayed for, God, let me watch my kids grow up. And again, through the godly perspective, see, if you don't have that perspective, you won't see it.
Mm.
You won't feel it. You won't sense it.
You were amazingly calm through all that.
I'm so true when I tell you, I said it today, I'll say it again, I'll keep saying it. I was assured in my spirit, you know, that I wasn't done. That God's, I wasn't done. That he was still, he said, preach, just preach. And that's what I've done. And I haven't skipped a beat. Every Wednesday, you know, I'm there. Not because I want to, not to be seen, not because of a title, not because of anything like that. It's because God told me to do it. And that's what I hold on to.
That's awesome. Do you think Joseph was doing anything in particular? Just staying focused on God?
I think he was. I think he was. He had that godly perspective.
Do you do anything like, I think earlier you said something about meditating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is there anything in particular you do to help with the different distractions and things that happen through life?
I like to pause. I like to pause in this fast world.
Now, when you say pause, does that mean go sit in your car or does that mean like?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Go sit under that's a tree one. I mean, yeah, there's yoga or something. There's so much things that you can do. But yeah, pause, whether it's sitting in the car, you know, if I'm going to take off somewhere, I'll go 5 minutes early, sit in the car. And again, I examine what's going on in my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
God, what's important to me? Where am I going? Why am I doing this? You know, if I'm going to work, you know, it's like, God, help me there. Help me be the light.
So you're praying when you're taking these pauses?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm praying. I'm talking. I'm listening, of course. You got to listen twice. We got 2 ears. Listening. Just to see where the Spirit shows me, tells me. Because, again, I think that we don't pause. We go. And that's what makes us make fast and rash decisions on things is, you know, when we're not thinking and, you know, we're just driving, something happens and, oh, you're making a,
right.
You know, you're making a wrong move all of a sudden because, you know, you're not thinking about actually what you're doing. I said a verse today where, you know, whenever the distraction came to Joseph, he said, it's a sin. It's wicked against God. And do we think about that before we say a curse word or someone cuts us off and we're giving them the finger or we're, you know, do we think about that before we don't think we just.
Yeah. I've gotten better at it since, Pastor D talks about it so much about his road rage.
Yeah.
I had a guy cut me off the other day and, I distinctly remember cause I thought to myself, well, I'm proud of myself a little bit there. Because he cuts me off, and of course, my first reaction was to lay on the horn and tailgate him.
Yeah.
And I thought, instead of that, I thought, wow, that guy must really be in a hurry.
Yeah. Or,
like,
I mean,
maybe probably, he's got something going on or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I caught myself, and I was like, oh, my goodness, something's wrong with me.
What is going on? Am I changing?
I got mad. I don't know why.
Well, I always tell Sin, you know, my wife, Cynthia, I'm like, I mean, you can honk at him and lay in. He's not going to care. The finger's going to go higher, and you'll never see him again.
Right.
You'll never see him again.
Well, I told him he was number one, though. Isn't that what Pastor D
felt good about that.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so let's go on and talk about hope a little bit. That was getting towards the end of the sermon. Now, God never promised us an easy life.
Mm.
In fact, he often said that it would be very difficult for us. There are avenues, you know, to receive blessings and to help us deal with all the problems that we face in life. But blessed does not always equal easy. And I think that a lot of people look for easy and they think that blessed, if God is blessing you, that that means your life is easy. And that's not the case. Why do people have such a hard time understanding that blessed and easy is not the same thing?
Because this worldview teaches that being blessed is easy. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of what Christ teaches.
Right.
So because this world says that, this world says you are blessed when you have a big house. This world says you are blessed when you have a lot of money. The world says you are blessed when everyone likes you, good or bad, no matter what you're doing.
Right.
And I think since, again, this world has the wrong definition, a wrong worldview, that's what everyone's taking in and what's learning. Like you said, they're going with the crowd. Jesus went away from the crowd. People don't like that. And he said, if they do it to me, they will do it to you. They can't handle the truth.
Is it? Do you think it's not being able to handle the blessing or not being able to identify the blessing? I mean, because really, I come into contact with a lot of people through my job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many of them, because it's in the medical field, they're injured or they're coming off something that's bad. And, you know, you listen to their story and you kind of have to stop them sometimes and say, look, you're blessed to be alive,
mm-hmm.
or you're blessed that you didn't break your neck, or you're blessed that you're not in a wheelchair, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to get that. They think blessed would mean it didn't happen at all.
I think, so I will tell you this, and this just came to me right now. I think that people think about the blessings instead of the blessing. When you know that the blessing is that of salvation, that of Jesus Christ, the blessings, you'll understand truly what they're doing in your life, because everyone's going to be blessed. Everyone will go through sickness. Everyone will be blessed. Everyone will go through these seasons. You know, everyone will go through these seasons.
Even the hard ones.
Even the hard ones. And that's not, again, the blessing, if you do get blessed with a big house, you do get blessed with money, you do get blessed with things that you think a blessing is, what is the nature of it? What is it for? It's stuff, right? You know, so
yeah.
The real blessing, regardless, is Jesus Christ. So when you put your hope, and I talked about it today, in something else, in that blessing, that's where you go astray. That's where you start looking to the side and saying, well, a blessing is this, a blessing is that. If a blessing is something other than getting you closer to Christ, then it's just something that we want.
Just stuff.
And it's hard for people to decipher what we want. You know, because it's easier said than done. When I said, you know, even when I preached this morning, when looking through the eyes of Jesus and looking through the eyes of yourself, easier said than done. Because you can tell yourself this is the right thing to do. You can tell yourself, oh, this is of Jesus. It has to be. It's helping me. You know, you can get in the way of that your own self. So it's hard to see, like, is this really benefiting for Jesus or for me or somebody else?
Right. And it's easy to talk yourself out of receiving a blessing, even though you're getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor D mentioned last week, he was talking about how we don't always see from our own perspective, especially when we're right. You know, we'll sacrifice the answer to the argument in order to be right. And we do that, and it kind of overrides being right in the first place because of the way you treated somebody else.
Absolutely.
So it cancels the whole thing out.
It cancels out. Again, it's just your mindset. Everything you think of, you're doing something different.
Right.
And it's not good. You don't see it. If you saw it, you wouldn't do it.
Right.
You don't see it. It just happens.
Does that pause you like to take help with that kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, that time for me, and Cynthia knows, you know, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to the office. I need to, you know, either read a little bit, pray a little bit. You need those pauses. Everybody does, not just me. You know, she needs those pauses, and people might pause in a different way. You know, they might read, they might do whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone needs those little pauses, but not just to relax. Again, not just to get away. It's to refocus back on what Jesus have you do. And again, I think that's a difference for a lot of people. Right. It's not just I need a break from the kids, or I need a break from life. It's,
well, sometimes it's to absorb what you've learned or what you've picked up.
Absolutely.
They used to teach us that when I was a teacher.
Yep. It's actually thinking about it. Even hearing these sermons, you know, that's why I love these podcasts. Because you can listen to it, sound good, good job, and be done with it.
Right.
You know, but this podcast allows you to really dive in on what is being said and really think about it and apply it to your life.
Hopefully that's what's happening.
Oh, it's happening.
Some people just listen for the jokes, but that's okay. They can do that too.
Well, Pastor D, we'll be back next week. No.
No, all right. Okay, last thing. So you were talking about detours, delays, distractions. And you mentioned that when we ask for things, just because we run into a detour or a delay or a distraction, that does not mean that he's rejecting what we're looking for. Do you think God is using these things, the delays, the distractions, the detours, to show us or give us an opportunity to grow in our faith?
Absolutely, I do. I really do. Because again, remember, like I said earlier, it activates your faith. It actually allows you to really put it to the test. I can say all day I have faith, but if I'm never challenged to having to use that faith, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not until my kidney shut down where I can really step up and say,
now,
you know what?
Now I gotta lean on it.
I still love you. I know I do. I really got to listen to you and not just, again, break down into a state of depression or into, you know, I want to lose. I'm done with life, you know, because that's, if you're not prepared, if your mind's not there, if your heart's not there, that's word. And unfortunately, you see a lot of people do that where they can't go on. If they lose a loved one, they can't go on with life.
If you had to put on a scale of 1 to 100, how your faith has grown ever since you had that face off with death, I guess you call it. I don't know what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Medical scare, whatever. On a scale of 1 to 100, how much has your faith grown since then?
Oh, man. Come on. I mean, it.
What's
95, 99, 100. And I say that because go ahead.
So that would mean your faith has doubled?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Again, because nothing really challenged me. I thought I had a long time to live, you know, but once you read scripture now and it says tomorrow is not promised, and that you, the doctor, everybody, and you are for sure tomorrow's not promised. It don't hit you till it hits you, you know, kind of like the food we eat. Oh, Pastor D's going to get on me for this one.
It's all right. It fits right in with what we talk about all the time.
It fits right in. But the food we eat, right? They can tell you it's bad for you.
Doesn't matter.
But if it's not doing nothing right now, it don't matter. Until you're in the hospital bed, say, I told you not to eat that food.
Right.
Well, it just goes, and then here it is. And so that's kind of what happened. Again, like, I know scripture. I know we're not promised tomorrow. But the way I feel is good today.
So I should be fine.
I should be fine. And that's how, again, all the younger and us, all of us included, in our teens, we're invincible.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, nothing stopped us. We can, you know, go out all night and do whatever.
Yep.
And be fine.
I look back now as I'm an old man and I think, what was I thinking when I was that old?
You were invincible.
How am I not dead?
You were
invincible. I mean, as many times I did stupid, crazy things.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm kind of like you are. I still think like I'm 20.
Yeah. And
my body feels like it's 86, but.
And you also don't think about death randomly. You don't really think about it. Like, you think like, oh, someone could die or they could die, but you don't really think about it. Again, when they tell you your kidneys are working at 7%, if I let you out, you can die. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. And again, then you start rolling your head like, okay, God, how's my wife going to be? How's my kids going to be? Like, when you're really putting everything together, like, I can be gone. Will I be remembered? You know, I'm just going to have a gravestone, you know.
Is that what went through your head? Like,
yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Like, if I'm gone, how's it going to be? Did I leave a legacy? Did I not leave a legacy? I'll be forgotten.
That's what you thought about, huh?
Yeah, you think about that. I did. I thought about if I'm gone. But again, that kind of doubled my faith, came back when, you know, I'm praying and meditating, and God's like, you know, do you trust that I have your family right now? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. Well, why wouldn't you trust me when you're gone to have your family?
Right.
It's still him. He's still in charge. So again, that just doubled my faith, doubled my, you know, assurance that, all right, God, I hear you. I'm in. Like, this isn't about me being invincible.
Right.
This is about me doing your work and following you to a T no matter what.
Right.
And that's how it grew exponentially. Hmm. Once you look death in the face.
No doubt. All right. Well, that's all I've got today. Anything else you want to cover or go over?
You hit everything. I appreciate going through this sermon.
Appreciate you coming in and talking with us today.
Yes, sir.
Although I know Pastor D probably made you.
Nah, I hope I
came willingly.
I came willingly.
Okay.
I'm not as funny as him, and he'll be back on next week. But
he,
I do.
He's not as funny as he thinks he is sometimes either. So
I love it though. I love it. I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. All right. With that, we'd like to invite everyone to join us at Coast Life Church on Sunday at one of our three services at 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., or 11 a.m. You can also join us online at the Coast Life Church Facebook site, the YouTube site, the Coast Life Church app, wherever else it is. We have all these things that you can watch. If you can't be here on Sunday, don't forget to join us for family night on Wednesday at 6 for a little pizza and some fellowship. Don't forget to give Mr. Jim with Hilo Heating and Air a call for a spring tune-up for your HVAC system. Baptisms are coming up on May 5th. If you are interested in getting baptized, please go to the Coast Life Church website and sign up for that. I know there are no kids, Pastor Phil, that listen to this podcast probably. I don't know, maybe one or two.
Maybe one or two.
If they are, they're probably the older ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a parent and you have a kid that is interested in this, do they need to approach somebody at the kids' church, or do they need to go through their parents and through the website? What if they don't know? I mean, you got to have some kind of understanding to get baptized, right?
Yeah. So they'll go through the website, and on there, Pastor D will get a hold of them and ask some questions, and he'll do it on this side.
To make sure that they're ready.
To make sure, yeah, that, you know, they're not just doing it just because a friend's doing it, or
we kind of
vet them in that way. Again, because we don't.
I was just curious.
We want to make sure it's done right. We don't want to just, you know,
just start dunking everybody.
Dunking everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
Get canceled, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So that's the baptisms coming up on May 5th. Also, if you have any questions about any of the topics we have discussed here today on the podcast, please shoot me an email and I'll get Pastor D or Pastor Phil to come on and give you an answer to your question. And with that, Pastor Phil, if you wouldn't mind closing us out with a prayer, we will call it a day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here today, Lord. I thank you for every opportunity that you've given us. I thank you for our staff and our members that are out to this week, Father God, in the Dominican, doing your work, doing what you call them to do, Father God. I thank you for them. I thank you for this church, Lord, that is growing, not just physically, but spiritually, Father God. We are a church that listens to you. We are a church that follows you. And we just love you and thank you for the work that's going into from the tech to the podcast to the sermons to the children and the youth, Father God. Everything that we do is directed towards you, and we just thank you for that. We ask you, Father, to just put blessings on blessings on blessings, Father, on your children, Father. It don't have to be material stuff, Father God. It's that joy and peace that we know that comes through you. We just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Thinking Out Loud with Pastor Phil today. We'll see you all here again next week. Bye-bye.
Woo!
All right, Ric Flair.
That's Ric Flair.